Zechariah 2, verse 2, go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, Thus saith the Lord, I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousals, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness, in a land that was not sown. Israel was holiness unto the Lord, and the first fruits of his increase. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we commit this time to you now as we open your word. We thank you, Lord, that this is a living word of God. The scripture is God-breathed. It is perfect. It is eternal. And we thank you above all that in the word we find our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the word revealed to us and providing us the way of salvation. We just thank you, Lord, that we can preach your word, and I pray you'll help me as I preach. Help us all as we listen to the voice of God this morning and to respond according to the way you would want us to do. May we just give our hearts and give our all to you, for you are worthy of our worship, of our devotion, of our service, of our love. We ask you to bless now in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to begin this morning with a confession. And that confession is, I have a poor memory. Just ask my wife. Don't I? Or do I? Is it me or you that has a bad memory? I don't. I forget. Actually, my memory is really good. It's just very, very short. The other day I came home from somewhere and my wife wasn't there. I don't know, this is a few weeks ago. And a half hour went by, and she didn't show up, and another half hour went by, and she wasn't there. And I kept wondering, where is she at? The car was gone, and I had no idea what happened to her. And I started thinking, what if someone kidnapped her? And I wonder what has happened. Do I call the police? Do I do an APB yet, or are we there? And I just didn't know, and then here she comes driving in. It's how the car comes in. I go, where were you? And she says, I told you I was going to go here and here and here, downtown somewhere. And I was just so relieved. So I need to remember. I don't do very well with that. I think I told you this story before, but I tend to forget, so I'm not sure. And just pretend that you have never heard it, because you've probably forgotten it anyway. Anyway, there were three sisters. They were age 85, 83, and 81, and they lived together. Well, the 85-year-old sister, she went upstairs to take a bath, and she filled the bathtub up with water, and she stuck her foot in the water, and she paused, and she yelled downstairs, was I getting into the bathtub or getting out of the bathtub? Well, her 83-year-old sister shouts up back up loudly, I don't know, let me come up there and see what's happening. And she begins to walk up the stairs, and she stops, and she yells out to her sisters, was I going upstairs or downstairs? I was kind of like that yesterday, running around. I don't know how many times I ran over here to get something, and by the time I got there, I had no idea what I came to get. And I'd have to sit and think for a while. Well, anyway, then the 81-year-old, she's sitting in the living room enjoying some tea, and she listens to her sisters, and she shakes her head and mutters to herself, I sure hope I never get that forgetful, knock on wood. And then she turns and shouts, I'll come up there and help you both as soon as I see who's at the door. Well, sometimes it's like that, isn't it? Jeremiah chapter 2, we read, beginning in verse 1, Jeremiah 2, 1. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord, I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousals, or betrothals, or the love as a bride, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness, in a land that was not sown. Israel was holiness unto the Lord, and the firstfruits of his increase. All that devour him shall offend or shall become guilty. Evil shall come or evil came upon them, saith the Lord. And hear ye the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, what iniquity, what sin have your fathers found in me, that they are gone far from me, and have walked after vanity, and are become vain? Neither said they, where is the Lord that brought us up out of the land of Egypt? They didn't even say that anymore. They forgot that led us through the wilderness, through a land of deserts and pits, through a land of drought and of shadow of death, through a land that no man passed through, and where no man dwelt. Verse 7, and I brought you into a plentiful country to eat the fruit thereof and the goodness thereof. But when you entered in, you defiled my land and made my heritage an abomination. The priest said not, where is the Lord? And they that handled the law knew me not. The pastors, or the shepherds also, the shepherds and pastors and the people transgressed against me, and the prophets prophesied by Baal, and they walked after things that do not profit. Wherefore I will yet plead with you, saith the Lord, and with your children will I plead. For Passover in the isles of Chittim, which is Cyprus, in other words, to the west, Passover in the country to the west, and send unto Kedar, or Arabia to the east. In other words, he's saying, go to the west, go to the east, and consider diligently if there be such a thing. Has a nation changed their gods, which are yet no gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which does not profit. So be astonished, O ye heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be very desolate, saith the Lord. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and have hewn them out cisterns, or broken wells that can hold no water. God, through Jeremiah, gave a message to backslidden Judah, the wife of Jehovah, the ones that he redeemed and brought out of Egypt. He gave this message. Jeremiah was God's spokesman during these days of darkness, disaster, and doom. And the light was growing very, very dim in the land of Judah. Judgment was on the horizon. Look at chapter 1 and verse 14. Then the Lord said unto me, out of the north shall evil break forth upon the inhabitants of the land. And who is that evil that's going to come forth? Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, and the nation of Babylon. For lo, I will call all families of the kingdoms of the north, saith the Lord, and they shall come, and they shall set every one his throne at the entering of the gates of Jerusalem, and against the walls thereof round about, and against all the cities of Judah. And I will utter my judgment against them, touching all their wickedness, who have forsaken me, and have burned incense unto other gods, and worshipped the works of their own hands. Judah, Israel, was stained black with sin. She had turned to idolatry, chapter 2, verse 13 that we read. She had performed child sacrifices. And the priests themselves didn't know God. And there was no fear of God. Look at verse 32 of chapter 2. Can a maid forget her ornaments, or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number. How could it be? How could the very people of God, who had been redeemed by God, forget God? And yet they had. How can you forget God? How can I forget God? Yet we do. We spend our days as though there was no God or is no God as God's people. And God goes right to the heart as God needs to go right to my heart and your heart. He goes to the root of the problem, and that was the absence of their former love and devotion. So the Lord says to Jeremiah in 2 verse 2, go and cry in their ears. Jeremiah, go tell them, rebuke them. And that's God's word to Jeremiah. God is speaking to them through his prophet. Now, formerly, young Israel, the young nation of Israel, was first called from Egypt. They were brought out of slavery, out of bondage, which, of course, is a picture of you and I being brought out of the slavery of sin. We were dead in trespasses and sins, and yet God saved us by his grace if we're saved. But they showed kindness to God. They were truly, the nation of Israel, were truly in love with God, and they went after God. But now, they've forsaken me, God says, chapter 2, verse 13. They grieve God's heart. Again, verse 32, my people have forgotten me. My people have forgotten me. And there were times of shame also. The complaining of Israel, the murmuring, even idolatry. But God is pleased to only recall the good, the devotion. It's interesting. God didn't say, I knew you would fall. It all started back in the wilderness. But instead, what does he say? I remember the kindness. I remember the love. And you know what? The Lord never, never, ever forgets anything. His memory of their former love and devotion is perfect. It is though it was yesterday. And he says, I remember. It was yesterday you went after me. You loved me. Do I remember what God remembers? Do I recall what God recalls? Do I see what's important to him? Do I remember what is precious to him? What is valuable to him? More valuable than gold or precious stones. You see, I want to value what God values. So first of all, God says, number one, I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth. God says, I remember the kindness. I'll never forget the kindness you showed me. Kindness, what a fantastic word. In the Hebrew, it means loving kindness, affectionate, loving kindness. I can't think of all the rest of the words. A lot of times in the King James Bible, it's translated mercy. When you read the word mercy, it's that word hesed, H-E-S-E-D in the Hebrew, or C-H-E-S-E-D. It means loving kindness. God says, I remember that loving kindness you showed me when you went after me in the wilderness. Today we might say friendly, tenderhearted, generous. But somehow we neglect showing it to the very one who above all deserves it. Am I as spontaneously kind and affectionate to God as I used to be? Or am I only expecting God to be kind to me? Sometimes we're that way, aren't we? Am I full of the little things that cheer his heart over me? Or am I whimpering, always whimpering because of the difficulties? Do I remember to be thankful to God? Were you thankful this morning as you got up, got dressed, came to church? Did you thank God for your blessings? Do you thank God for his blessings when you wake up in the middle of the night and start worrying about things like I do? Yeah, we need to remember to thank him, to praise him, to be kind to him, to cheer him. We need to kindle the fire. Where's the fire? Where's the fire? Where's the zeal and the passion for God? After all, every Christian ought to be zealous for him, considering what he has done for us. Every one of us. Well, I'm just not made that way. Well, you and I need to get that way, whether we're made that way or not. Where's the zeal and passion? Has it died upon the altar of God? Do we complain? Oh, what a weariness it is. Oh, what a weariness. I'm so tired of the battle. I'm so tired of trying to live a life that pleases God. It's just a hard life, you know, and nobody has it as hard as me. Nobody's going through what I'm going through. Well, nobody is. That's right. But they're probably going through hard times too. Man that is born of woman is full of trouble, Job said. I can only handle so much, but God can handle it all. God can handle it all, and His grace is sufficient. God wants you to be kind to Him. He wants your friendship. He wants your friendship. And I can be a friend of God, to be friends with God. He desires you to be affectionate to Him. He looks to you to be generous with your love and devotion to Him. That's what God is looking for in you and me. Have you forgotten what delights God? I do sometimes. I do. Or do you not care to even pursue what He takes pleasure in? Pleasing God is finding pleasure in what God takes pleasure in. That's what pleasing God is all about, bringing pleasure to His heart. And God remembers the desire you once had to please Him and all that you did. You were sensitive to the working of the Holy Spirit in your life. You were very conscious of living a life of purity and holiness. I well remember those days soon after Roberta and I first got saved back in 1974, how all we wanted to do was what was right. And we want to get rid of the wrong in our life and the sin in our life and only do what pleased God. So we searched the Scripture and we prayed and we told others about Him. But somewhere along the way, that fire began to die a little bit. And we had to rekindle it. And I find even after many, many years of knowing the Lord, I've got to still rekindle that fire, that love, that devotion to Him. You would do good and right at any cost for the glory of God. You didn't think anything about it. It didn't matter. It was for God. Maybe we could shift our focus for a minute or two to the home life, to what goes on in our home, to our married life. Kindness is needed in the home. You know that, don't you? We need kindness in the home. True, sacrificial, giving love needs to be there again in our relationship. Is it there? Or do we just go through the motions in our relationship with our spouse, with our children, even our grandchildren? Kindness in the things we do for each other. The things we do for each other. When first married, you were probably very conscious of the little things of kindness. As newlyweds, you were willing to do anything for each other's happiness. What happened? What happened? Maybe we need to rekindle that desire. You used to buy flowers, right, husbands? Well, some of us used to. Yeah, that reminds me. My wife's new for some. You used to buy flowers. You carried her across the threshold, but now she carries the groceries in behind you. You used to open the car door, but now you honk the horn for her. I can't believe I used to do that. It took a while, but I finally learned if I want a happy wife, I'm going to have to quit doing this. And so if I get impatient, I just learn to be patient or go in and see if I can help her get the kids dressed. You know, Dad's out there honking the horn. Mom's out there getting three kids dressed while he's honking the horn. That's so kind. That's so kind to remind her it's time to go, you know. Believe it or not, we had a fella, a couple in our church, and the fella, he got so impatient, he went home, left his wife at church, and drove home. And we had to take her home in our car. That really happened. I thought, boy, this relationship's not going very well, I don't think. So don't do that, guys. The wife used to work for hours and hours preparing that perfect meal. And if it didn't turn out right, she would just be crushed because it wasn't good enough for her lover. And he would pretend that it was okay. And now, why did you fix that again? Don't you remember how awful it was? What are we doing for each other? Little acts of kindness are so important, and there ought to be a lot more of them, not fewer of them. And what about the acts of kindness we show to God? Christ has need of me. Give me to drink, he said to the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, in John 4:7. He actually said that to her. He went up to her, give me something to drink. how much kindness have I shown to the Lord this past week? Kindness in the things we do, and secondly, kindness in the things we say. Kindness in things we say. What comes out of my mouth ought to be marked by kindness. Ephesians 4:29, we read, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Just don't let it come out. I don't care if it's in there. God says, don't let it come out. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. I have the power to build up or destroy with my tongue the things I say to my kids, how I say them to my spouse. Colossians 4:6, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. Gracious words ought to come from my lips. In Ecclesiastes 10:12, the words of a wise man's mouth are gracious. Gracious, gracious. Not cutting, not sarcastic. Well, a little sarcasm's kind of fun, you know. I like sarcasm, but yeah, we can go too far, no, can't we? You know the pattern. Newlyweds. Brand newly married couple. And they're walking along and the wife falls and she scrapes her arm and her husband tenderly and carefully bends down and says, oh, honey, oh, buttercup, sweetie pie, let me help you. Maybe we need to take you to the doctor. 5 years later, same fall, scrapes her arm. Husband says, be careful, sweetheart, are you okay? 25, 30 years later, she falls again. And he says, ha, you're so clumsy. Can't you watch where you're going? I suppose we're going to end up with a bill from the doctor again. And that's kind of how it goes. We must show kindness in what we say and how we say it, And as we should very well know, there are several ways to say something, right? There are several ways. We can call someone level-headed or flat-headed. We can say they're thrifty or stingy. We can say, when I look into your face, time stands still. Or we can say, you have a face that would stop a clock. Well, we do need to say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry goes a long way. Women, I understand, generally need 3 compliments a day. Now, I always thought it was 3 compliments a month, but this says 3 compliments a day. And you know, let me give you those 3 compliments that women need. You look great. You look great. Honey, you look great. There you go. That's they need reassurance that they're a great wife, mother, cook, housekeeper, breadwinner, when she may be. And that you love her only and forever. I understand we should give 5 to 20 compliments or positive statements to every 1 or 2 negatives. So if I give out a negative, I better balance it out with 5 or 10 positives, okay? That's a tall order, right? But we can do it if we work at it. Compliment her on her looks. Like, I like that dress. I like that outfit. On the other hand, belittling can really damage one's spirit, whether it be our spouse or our children or our friends. We need to be careful. Newspaper columnist and minister George Crane tells the story of a wife who came to him in his office full of hatred toward her husband. I do not only want to get rid of him, I want to get even. And before I divorce him, I want to hurt him as much as he has hurt me. So Dr. Crane suggested an ingenious plan. He said, go home and act as if you really love your husband. Tell him how much he means to you. Praise him for every decent trait. Go out of your way to be as kind, considerate, generous as possible. Spare no efforts to please him and enjoy him. Make him believe that you love him. And then after you've convinced him of your undying love and that you cannot live without him, then drop the mom. Drop the mom. Tell him you are getting a divorce. And that's going to really hurt him. And with revenge in her eyes, she smiled and she said, beautiful, beautiful. Will he ever be surprised and shocked? And she did it with enthusiasm, acting as if. For 2 months, she showed love, kindness, listening, reinforcing, sharing. And when she didn't return, Dr. Crane called and said, are you ready now to go through with the divorce? Divorce, she exclaimed. Never. I discovered I really do love him. I really do love him. Her actions changed her feelings. Motion resulted in emotion. The ability to love is established not so much by fervent promise as by repeated deeds. It's doing, showing love, not just saying it, right? So, God says, I remember the kindness of thy youth. And secondly, and finally, I remember the love of thine espousals. I remember the kindness, and God says to Israel, I remember the love. Israel once loved the Lord, but that love had grown very cold now, maybe as cold as a North Dakota, Minnesota winter. They had gone to playing the harlot and chasing out after other lovers and turning from the true lover of their soul. You and I don't do that, do we? We never have turned away from him. We never have forgotten him, or have we? How is your love for God? Are you in love with the Lord Jesus Christ? Turn to John 11, John 11, 32. Are you in love with the Lord Jesus Christ? It was said of Christ, well, this is what was said of Christ when he heard about the death of his friend Lazarus. John 11, 32. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit, was troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? And they said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. Behold how he, Jesus, loved his friend Lazarus. It was amazing how he loved him. And would he love you any less? I don't think so. He loves you as much as he loved Lazarus. And he would raise you, if you needed it, as much as Lazarus. The love of God for us, for who we are and as we are. But God commendeth his love toward us in that way while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, Romans 5:8. Psalm 147:3, he healeth the broken in heart, he bindeth up their wounds. And he'll heal your broken heart, he binds up your wounds all the time. 1 John 3:16. We know John 3:16, but what about 1 John 3:16? Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay our lives down for the brethren. That's how we know the love of God. He gave his life. His love for you and me has never wavered, never changed, not a bit. Not a bit. In spite of all your sin and shortcomings and your failures and your ingratitude, he still loves you. Go figure it out. It's amazing. Including your failure to always love the Lord with all your strength, soul, heart, and mind. Do you love God? Simple question. Seems so simple. Just love God. Just love him. Love him, love him, love him, right? When one is first saved, he has a spontaneous love for the Savior. It's fresh, it's exciting, it's full of vigor, never doubting but believing every promise and acting upon every precept. It's a love that loves the Savior for who he is. Song of Solomon 5, verse 10. He is the chiefest among 10,000. Of course, we know this is speaking of Solomon and his bride, but many apply this to our love and the love of our Lord for us. He is the chiefest among 10,000. Song of Solomon 5:16. He is altogether lovely. This is my beloved. Is he altogether lovely to you? Is he your beloved? Is he holy, all, always? Is everything all about him? Look at 1 John 4. 1 John 4, 9. Holy, all, always, everything about him. There's not one thing about him that is not lovely, that is not desirable. And we must love him for who he is, not just what he gives. We love him because he first loved us. Again, 1 John 4, verse 9. And this was manifested in the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved Terry Post and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, as God so loved us, we ought to love one another. You say, my Bible version didn't say tearing post, but it's in there. It's in there. It's written in God's book, right? Your name is there. No man has seen God at any time, verse 12. If we love one another, God dwells in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Verse 16, and we have known and believed that the love that God has to us, God is love. And he that dwells in love dwells in God, and God in him. Verse 19, we love him because he first loved us. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew 22:37, you shall love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with every ounce of your being. And this is the first and the greatest commandment. I may have a hard time obeying every commandment, but I better be on target with the first and greatest commandment, and that's simply to love him. To love him. But alas, we neglect the greatest and are content with lesser duties. God is saying, you're not in love with me now, but I remember when you were. And God never forgets. Never forget. Surely we never take our loved ones for granted, right? Your spouse, your children, your parents, your grandparents, your friends. I'm afraid we can fall into the danger of taking our loved ones for granted. But may it never be, and may it never be that we would take God for granted. Have you lost the romance? The spark of love? I remember the love of your betrothals. That honeymoon love, God remembers. Have you lost that spark of love, that self-sacrifice? Is the honeymoon over with your relationship with God? We need to cherish God and cherish one another. Cherish one another. There's a story by O. Henry called The Gift of the Magi. The Gift of the Magi. Mr. James Young... Mr. James Young and his wife Della are a couple living in a modest apartment. They have only two possessions between them that they take pride in. Della's beautiful long flowing hair almost to her knees, and Jim's shiny gold watch, which had belonged to his father and grandfather. Well, on Christmas Eve, with only $1.87 in hand, desperate to find a gift for Jim, Della sells her hair for $20 and eventually finds a platinum chain for Jim's watch for $21. She found the perfect gift at last and runs home and prepares dinner with only 87 cents left. When Jim comes home, he looks at Della with a strange expression. In other words, her hair is gone. And Della admits to Jim that she sold her hair to buy him his present. Well, Jim gives Della her present, an assortment of very expensive hair accessories referred to as the combs, useless now that her hair is short. Della then shows Jim the chain that she bought for him, to which Jim says he sold his watch to get the money to buy her combs for her hair. So although Jim and Della are now left with gifts that neither one can use, Jim with a gold chain for his watch that he doesn't have, and Della with combs for hair that she doesn't have, they realize how far they're willing to go to show their love for each other and how priceless their love really is. And that we might have that kind of love for one another and for the Lord, that we would give him everything. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto him, which is our reasonable service, for a burning heart to love each other and for God. And as we consider what God remembers about us, we may find that he is not what he used to be to us. And may it produce shame and humiliation, which brings godly sorrow, which brings repentance, which brings restoration and a rekindling of that loving relationship. Jesus said in the church at Ephesus, I remember thee, I remember your love, but you have left your first love. Remember and repent. Remember and repent. May God help us to remember and repent and renew that love for him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love for us. It is beyond comprehension. We thank you, Lord, for the revealing of that love on the cross of Calvary, that you laid your life down, that you died in our place, that you commended your love for us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I pray, Lord, if there be anyone here this morning that doesn't know that love, that's never trusted in the Savior who died for them, that they would trust in him today, that they would believe on him, receive him as their Savior. Help us, Lord, to just give ourselves holy to you, to rekindle that love and devotion, to give those acts of kindness to you, to be gracious, to be thankful, to show gratitude, and just to have a loving relationship. May it be restored, Lord. May we give our all to you. Thank you now for this time. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the reminder of what we ought to be for you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn to number 128 as we sing our song of invitation. Let's stand together as we sing, and if God leads you to come and pray here, or if we can help you, may you respond to the Lord. 128, let's stand as we sing.
128, I am his and he is mine. Verse 1 and 3. Loved with everlasting love, led by grace, never know. Spirit breathing from above, thou hast taught me it is so. Oh, this full and perfect peace, oh, this transport, oh, divine, in a love which cannot cease, I am his and he is mine. In a love which cannot cease, I am. He is mine. His forever only His, who the Lord made sure God. Oh, with what a rest of bliss Christ can fill the loving heart. Heaven and earth may fade and flee, firstborn light in bloom decline, but while God and I shall be, I am His and He is mine. But while God and I shall be, I am His and He is mine.
Again, thank you for coming this morning. Good to have you. Take time to say hi to one another, visit with one another, and men, sign up for the Bible Pizza Fellowship we're having, and young people, sign up for your activity coming up. Hope to see you tonight at 6. Lord bless you.